Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Can you please turn to Matthew 7, 6 to 11? I'll give you some time. Okay. Matthew 7, 6 to 11. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which one of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Amen.
We continue our study of Matthew chapters 5 to 7. Today we'll look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 6 to 11, and the message is entitled, Ask and You'll Be Given. Our life has many challenges, and some of these challenges really frighten us. Challenges of the health, when our health is no good, we sometimes, what doctors can do is only that much. Or as the economy takes a downturn, we may worry about our jobs. The job is our dignity. We need money to feed our family. And not having a stable job worries us. And there are people with whom we find it hard to get along with. Our colleagues, our bosses, or sometimes even our family members, people who mean a lot to us. And having to meet them on a regular basis for many hours of our life sometimes makes life very miserable. So there are many challenges in life. This is the world. Welcome to the world. This is the world. And the bad news is this. Such a kind of life that has so many challenges is peppered throughout our life. You'll be part of our life. We cannot escape it until the day we die. But we want to thank God. Christians are very privileged. The non-Christian, like the Christian, will have also to face challenges of life. But dear Christians, dear children of God, do you know that you are very blessed? We really need God's help, but we can pray. And the Bible's promises is this, ask and be given. It sounds almost like a blank check. Huh? Yeah, it's almost a blank check. Almost a blank check. It says, ask and be given. You can pray. When we meet life challenges, don't be afraid. Don't be too disheartened. It frightens us. It worries us. It brings sorrows into our life. But don't be too disheartened. Because ask, you pray, God will give you the necessary help. We thank God. So life will be not only bearable, but more than bearable. But you must pray. Do you pray? Do you spend good time praying? Unhurried time praying? You pray about many things, not only about yourself, about things, about people around you. Do you pray? Now, if you are not in the habit of praying, you really should pray. It really works. With that, we look at verse 6. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under your feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Some the Bibles that we carry in our hands, some of them, for some, the way they divide the passages, for some Bibles, they put verse 6 together with verse 5, 4, 3, 2, etc. And like in the Bible I have here, the first verse of a new passage begins with verse 7. Huh? So verse 6 to some people belongs to the passage earlier on. Huh? But we have good reasons to believe that this passage that we want to study starts with verse 6 rather than verse 7. You see why? Because the content in verse 6, give, the word give, never mind about the Greek, but any of the Greek is didomi, but the idea of give, this word is being used again in verse 7 and verse 11, I think. So it is this Greek word didomi, and this idea of give is the concern, the focus of verses 7 to 11. So we know that verse 6 starts the passage. And this is not only an interpretational issue, it is important. In fact, it's very critical to understanding, to knowing what must you do if your prayers are going to be answered, you're going to find help. So therefore, there are good interpretational reasons that this passage starts with verse 6. Let us look at verse 6. And if you do not catch what I'm trying to say just now, never mind. Let us engage the text. Verse 6. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. So this verse 7 to 11 is very comforting. But when you look at the starting of this verse, because it says ask and be given, it's very comforting. You have a problem, don't worry, just pray. Pray God will help you. But yet this verse starts with a very jarring verse in verse 6. And it's very harsh. It talks about dogs and pigs, and it likens human beings to dogs and pigs. It's so harsh. Why does Jesus start this very comforting passage about answered prayers with a very harsh verse as verse 6? Yeah, and there's a very good reason. Because why? Because this is the critical condition for answered prayers. Because verse 6 tells us a critical condition if your prayers are going to be answered by God. What are dogs? Dogs are in the Jewish people. People are like that. We Chinese, we say this particular race, we call that another name. So Jews are also nasty people, sinners. So to them, they regard those who are non-Jews as unclean people. So dogs are referred to unclean animals. And whether they are insinuating that the non-Jews are like that, not, that's besides the point. But dogs are unclean animals in their eyes. And sacred is the word holy. It's just the opposite of unclean. And Jesus says, do not give to unclean animals what is clean. Do not give to unholy animals, unholy people, what is holy. So do not give dogs what is sacred. Why? Well, it says because they cannot appreciate holy things. Because they are unclean, right? They are so used to uncleanness, right? They are so used to unholiness, right? So no point giving them holy things. They say, no good. Very bad. I don't like it. Okay? So do not give dogs to dogs what is sacred, what is holy. And in the same way, do not throw your pearls to pigs. You can be quite sure pigs will not appreciate a diamond ring that you buy for your wife. Your wife will thank you. But pigs are, what is this? It's a nuisance. Take it out of me. It irritates my skin. Right? Pigs. Because pigs cannot appreciate refined things. The better things of life, they cannot appreciate. So don't give pigs these good things. You know what will these animals do if you give them good things? They may trample the good things under their feet. Trample means they destroy the gift. And only that. And turn and tear you to pieces. And they will also destroy the giver. Not only do they hurt the gift, they also hurt the giver. God, why you give me this? No good, God. I need this, you don't give them this. Rubbish, this thick gift. And then not only you reject the giver. God, you're no good, you don't love me. I don't believe you anymore. I don't believe other gods. So you insult the gift and you also insult the giver. Why? Because dogs and pigs do not appreciate the finer things of life. So don't give them. So this, and what is the point that Jesus, and by the way, this sacred, this word is used in Matthew, the book of Matthew. We are looking at Matthew, right? We are looking at the book of Matthew, right? It's used in Matthew to refer to two things, the Holy Spirit and the Holy City. Holy things. And this word pearls is used one other time in the book of Matthew. We are looking at Matthew, right? So we are looking at how this word pearls is used. It refers often to the kingdom of heaven. It used another time, only one other time, it refers to the kingdom of heaven. So what's the point? The point is this. Why does verse 6 start this passage about how to have answered prayers? Because God doesn't give to people who do not desire his gifts. And you can understand that as well, right? Imagine you spend a lot of time, this person's birthday is coming, then you buy a gift, and they present the gift, and you open up, and then say, yeah, actually, this one, I think, then the giver doesn't, the recipient, the person who receives the gift doesn't appreciate the gift, right? You feel very hurt, right? Then you, what do you say? Next time, his birthday, her birthday, I don't buy anymore. Or maybe I just give him the voucher, ask him to get for himself. Or when somebody, you help this person, and then that person is not grateful. What do you say? When that person is not grateful, what do you say? This can't be okay, I help one. I don't help anymore. Don't care about him. I'm grateful, bread, right? So even human beings in the human world, I'll be like that, right? When the gift is not appreciated, we won't want to give that gift anymore. Now that's the point about prayer. When the gifts that God gives us is not appreciated by us, we throw away the gift and we also insult the giver. Now how do you think God will work? God say, I will not give you anymore. And what is this gift? This gift, throwing to dogs what is sacred, throwing pearls to pigs, these gifts has a very specific meaning. You must look at what Jesus has talked about earlier on in chapter 5. The meaning is very specific. It's not just any gift. Earthly gifts, worldly gifts, or no, it's just any gift. It's specifically the kingdom of heaven. Then God only gives me kingdom of heaven. Then what about my food, money, and my house, and the good things of life? Then I want to go Europe, I need money. Then God doesn't give to me. No, that's not true also. Now let me explain. When God gives, God's greatest desire is to give us a particular present. This present is very precious. It's very good. It's called the kingdom of heaven. And along with this kingdom of heaven, what's the purpose of this kingdom of heaven? So how do you get this kingdom of heaven? You must serve God. Only when you serve God, then God will reward you with the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, when God gives us, God is not only willing to give us the kingdom of heaven, anything that will help you serve God better so that you receive the reward of the kingdom of heaven, God will also give it to you. So let me tell you one thing, according to Proverbs, it says, not everybody is blessed with wealth. I think everybody wants to get rich. But let me tell you one thing. Not everybody will get rich. That's what the Bible says. Some people can manage wealth. God gives it to that person. But some people, for someone, not because you're evil, for some reasons, God, in his wisdom, in his foresight, he thinks that you cannot manage wealth. He will not give it to you. And there are reasons why, Because these gifts that God gives us is to help us serve him better so that we get the best gift called the kingdom of heaven. So anything that will enable you to serve God better, to help you get the reward of heaven, God will also give it to you. If you need money to build the church in India, God will give it to you. If you need this and that to serve God better, God will also give it to you. And that includes food, material things, things that bring joy. But the thing is this, the gifts that God wants to give you is our eternal spiritual blessings, real blessings. And therefore, if your prayers are going to be heard, your attitude must be right first. Prayers, effective prayers start with the heart attitude. It starts with a heart attitude. It does not start with uttering your words to tell God what you want. That's not the meaning of prayer. Prayer must start with this, your attitude. And therefore, if your prayers are going to be heard, you must examine your desire. Why do you want to pray? Now let me ask you, why do you want to pray? Why are you praying every day? Do you pray? I hope you do pray. But when you pray, what is your purpose in praying? Why do you pray? I pray because I need this help. I pray because I need money. I pray because I need job. I pray because I need a good health and so on and so forth. But why do you pray? I know you need this, but why do you pray? Now you must get this, you must answer this question properly first. Now you must be settled in your heart and decide in your heart that your prayer is to obtain real blessings, the kingdom of God. then does God care about our needs? Of course he does. Of course he does. Dear Christians, do you know that, as Romans chapter 8 verse 32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things? He who did not spare his own son, Jesus also, he gives it to us. How will he not also, along with giving us Jesus, graciously give us everything, even the cheaper things of life? When you put God first in your life, when you seek God's kingdom first, and then if God sees that this you need money, material things, other things, God will also give them to you. So you put God first, you get everything. But this everything must be, it has a caveat there. This everything is not everything. This everything are things to help you serve the Lord better. But if you do not want to put God first, you do not desire his kingdom. You see, don't ask me to serve God. Don't talk to me about church. Don't talk to me about Bible. I know this is important, but that's not my focus now. My focus is to solve my problems now. If you're going to be so focused on your own personal needs, let me tell you, not only do you not get the kingdom of God, no? Even the real things, the real blessings of life, the other things, you also don't get. You get nothing. That's why, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well, or will be added unto you. Will be given to you as well. Says Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. So, I urge you, we need to pray, because we have so many needs. But before you pray, don't be so quick to jump into jump at God and say, God, give me this. Don't be so quick. You must settle in your heart first. Why do you want to pray? What do you want? What do you want from prayer? Your desire of prayer is to get better things, real blessings, the kingdom of heaven. When you have that desire, the other things that you need for life, God also gives it to you. God is very good. Settle in your heart, why do you want to pray? Therefore, a person who loves the world cannot pray. A person who loves the world, who's focused on earning money and more money and more money and advanced life, cannot pray. You know why? Because your prayers will not be effective. Not because God doesn't love you, don't be mistaken. Because your heart, when you love the world, you will not love the kingdom of God. You will not have no appetite for the kingdom. But sure on what? That's why earlier on Jesus says, you cannot love both mammon, money, and God. Either you hate one and love the other, or you love the other and hate the other one. Because one heart, remember I showed the picture of the reptile? The reptile can look at two things at the same time. But human beings cannot. Because God is very clever. God made us only can focus on one thing. God is very clever, right? Because God wants us to focus on him alone. So God did not make us like reptiles. So you cannot love the world. So prayer really starts with what kind of person you are. Prayer doesn't start with praying. No. Prayer starts with the heart, your attitude, your value system. What you think is most valuable. It must start there. Because that will make or break your prayer. Therefore, settle in your heart that you will not love the world, that you will not despise God's gifts, but that you desire God's gifts. Then your prayer will be like a bullet that shoots up to heaven to the throne of grace. How to pray? Verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. This is basically poetic. Means there are three parallels. Ask and it will be given. Line number one. Line number two, seek and you'll find. Parallel and parallel, means same meaning. Then third, knock and the door. So there are three similar lines. It's poem. But Jesus is not simply uttering poetry. It tells us that when Jesus says ask, seek, and knock, three different words with similar meaning. Jesus is trying to emphasize to you about prayer, and he's trying to tell us not about prayer. No, he's trying to tell us that you must pray. So he repeats it three times. So ask, pray lah. Seek, pray lah. Knock, pray lah. Same meaning. But why does he repeat three times? Because he wants to tell you what? Hey, children of God, pray lah. You must pray. Have you been praying? Do you spend good time praying? I encourage you, our life must be a life of prayer. Christian's life must be a life of prayer. When you're at the bus stop waiting for the bus or waiting for MRT these days, don't just let your mind wander. Pray lah. When they wash plates, I know some housewives, they're very good. Huh? As they pray, they pray. As they wash the plates, they pray. And when you drive, look out for cars, but pray. Before you sleep, pray. After you get up, pray. Remember to pray for your meals. Must pray. Must spend a lot of time praying. As you go through life, be ready to pray at any time. When you're going to meet a client, in your heart, utter a quick prayer. You suddenly remember your children in school, pray for them. Just, hey, Lord, please protect my children. Full stop. Pray. Your life must be a life of prayer. It is immersed in prayer. This is the meaning of ask, seek, not. Jesus is trying to say that, please pray. You must pray. Are you a prayerful person? You pray. How much time do you spend praying? I pray. Lunch, dinner, and breakfast. But I only pray two times because I skip breakfast. So two times only. Other than that, do you pray? Then you pray about what? My studies, my health. That's all? Nothing else? Our prayers cannot be a self-centered prayer. You must pray for other people. But the point is, you must pray. Because prayer is critical. It decides whether you find help or you don't find help. Prayer decides whether you find help in this life or you struggle through life and life becomes miserable. Prayer is important. Do you pray? A Christian must pray. So if you do not have unhurried time praying, you should start to change yourself. Time to pray. And this prayer, ask, seek, knock, is in the present tense. Present tense means ask is you are asking now. Seek, you are asking now. Knock, you are still knocking. Meaning it is an action that is still ongoing. So Jesus is trying to tell you, your entire life must be praying and praying and praying. You must be praying and praying and praying non-stop. So Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. This is the meaning of ask, seek, and knock, present tense. One good text is in Deuteronomy chapter 4:29. Please, let's look at this verse. I'm looking at the just for information, the Bible that the apostles use in the New Testament times, one of the Bible, they read the Hebrew Bible, but they also read the Greek translation of the Bible called the Septuagint. Now, if you look at the Septuagint chapter verse 29, it's the same. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you'll find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. So the word seek, zeteo, in Greek, but never mind about this Greek word, zeteo. It's the same word here in seek. So it talks about how do you seek the Lord? How do you seek the Lord? Seeking the Lord is in this way. If you seek the Lord, if you pray, you will find him. God will answer your prayers. But how do you seek the Lord? It says if you seek him, the same word seek, with all your heart and soul. Means when you pray, you pray. It's a very intense exercise. Prayer is a very intense exercise. Prayer is a struggle. So every time when I pray, you can see my eyebrows are creased. Not because of the crease, the eyebrows are. Because it's very intense. You struggle with your own sin. You struggle with your own needs. You struggle with asking God, begging God to help you. So prayer is a very intense exercise. How do you pray? In simply put, you pray with this mindset, only the Lord can help me. If the Lord doesn't help you, I'm finished. You pray with this kind of mindset. I must pray, you know why? Because if I don't pray and God doesn't help me, I'm finished. You know? I must pray, no choice. That kind of exercise, that kind of attitude. No choice. If I don't pray, I'm finished. But why is it that when you ask, seek and knock, when you pray, God will give it to you? Why is it that when you pray, you'll find God will help you? Why? Why so sure? Because verse 8 says 4, means it explains why verse 7 says pray and you will get. But why is it when you pray you will get? Because verse 8 explains everyone who asks will receive, the one who seeks will find, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. In other words, why do you pray? Because why is it that when you pray, God will give it to you? Because prayer is the only condition for God to give you help. Why do you pray? Why is it when you pray, you'll get help? Because praying, asking is the only condition, only thing you need to do to get help. No need to be so flowery, no need. No need to be so elaborate, no need. You want to get good things right? You need to do one thing, pray. You need to ask. There's one little boy, he looks at a cake, and he wonders in his mind, well, if I ask Pa to buy for me, will he buy for me or not? He said, okay, Pastor loves cake, yeah, it's true. I said, okay, will Pa buy for me this cake? And then he wonders, will Pa buy for me? I really love the cake, but will Pa buy for me? So he wonders and mulls over it and thinks about it. And keep on thinking, But there is really no need, right? What does he need to think over his mind again and again, will Pa buy for me or not? What do you need to do? Pray lah, ask your Pa, ask your Father for it lah. He will give it to you. Now that's the way I'll pray. You want to get help? There's only one thing you need to do. You don't need to be clever, intelligent or what, no need. You only need to pray. Why is it that when you pray, you ask from God your Father, God will give it to you? Why? And he explains in verse 9, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? You notice that Jesus compares bread with stone, right? Who asks for bread and gets a stone, right? So compares bread and stone. Why does Jesus compare bread with stone? Or ask for a fish, give him a snake? Why does Jesus compare a fish with a snake? Why this comparison? Why bread compared to stones, compared to stone, fish compared with snake? Why? Because you know which is the stone, which is the bread? Get that right? Because ancient times, the bread looks like a stone, as the picture here. And the bread really looks like a stone. Know which is a snake, which is a fish? It's an eel, huh? The top is a fish, eel, and the bottom is a snake. But they look very similar. Right? Okay. Why does Jesus compare a stone with a bread and a fish with a snake? Jesus' point is this. That when you pray and ask God to help you, to give you things, God will not give you imitation products, but are useless. Some imitation products are good, but God will not give you imitations that are useless. In fact, he will not even give you imitation stuff. He will give you true gifts. That's the point. That's why when you ask for a stone, I ask for a bread, God will not say, I give you something. Okay, he wants a bread. Okay, I give him something quite similar. Good enough already. Can already. God will not do that to you. God will make sure that gift is a real gift. That's the reason why you must pray. When you pray, dear Christians, so many Christians can testify to this. I'm very sure every born-again Christian here, I hope and I believe, you must have experienced answered prayers. Have you? Have you experienced answered prayers? Hey, if you have not experienced answered prayers, there are only two. There's only one possibility if you are a Christian. You have not been praying. But if you pray, it is not possible for God to not answer, you have not experienced answered prayers. Not possible. There's only one possibility, that you have not really been praying and praying properly. If you pray, right, every Christian through millennia, through the thousands of years of Christianity, can tell you God answered prayers. If not experienced answered prayers, right, you must stop praying and you experience it for yourself. And when you and God, when God gives you good things, right, every Christian here can testify, we get really good things. You must pray. Hey, really or not? Sure enough. You mean this problem is very big, leh? I mean God can help me. The thing I want is very mafano, very troublesome, no? I mean God will give it to me, really? Hey, this thing I want is very expensive. But really God can give it to me. He really give it to me? Really? We wonder. Dear Christian, God will give it to you. No need to ask, no need to wonder. God will give it to you. You ask and you will receive. It's almost a blank check. Why is it that we are so assured that God will give it to you? Verse 11. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven... Can you fill in the blank here? Okay, let me read it again. I want you to fill in the blank. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much for your Father in heaven, can you fill in the blank there? Give good gifts to those who ask him. You can fill in the blank there? Okay, sorry, I don't mean to be like, let me read the third time. Try to fill in the blank, okay? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father in heaven, can you fill in the blank? Give good gifts to those who ask him. That means if Father in heaven and give good gifts to those who ask him, right? There's a blank there. Can you fill it in? You know what word that is? You have an answer? Okay, let me give you an answer. If you who are evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, your Father, can you fill in the blank there? Who is good. Because that's the opposite of the first sentence, evil. Jesus purposely leaves that out for you to fill it in yourself so that it makes an impact. So if you are evil because we are sinners, right? Every human being is a sinner, so we have an evil nature in us. But although we have an evil nature in us, a sinful nature, but yet to our children, we will give good gifts. Now, your Father, whose nature is good, sinless, holy, loving, don't you think he will definitely give you good gifts? Evil people will give good. Good people, all the more will give good, right? So you and I are evil fathers because we are sinful people. But yet when our children ask from us, we give them good things. Now our Father in heaven is good and holy and loving. When you ask of him, don't you think all the more you give it to you? Definite what? Is he's good, therefore he'll give you good things. Sure good one. Definitely. It's a what? Chop and double chop. Chop in red and then chop in blue. That's Jesus' point. Jesus is trying to tell you, definite. If you pray, your problems are big, are troublesome, are worrisome. You're frightened about the problems you're facing. Dear Christian, you can pray. You must pray. And we pray with the right attitude that I want not only good gifts, I want the heavenly gifts. You pray, chop, double confirm, God will give you good things. So we come at the question, are you a prayerful person? Have you been praying? How much time do you pray a day? Did you pray yesterday? How many times, how much time, how many minutes do you pray? 5 minutes? Okay, not bad, huh? Extend it to next day, extend it to 10 minutes. Now, I pray 10 minutes a day, okay, not bad also. Make it 20 minutes. No need to be 20 minutes, one shot. Morning, pray for item number 1 to 5. Afternoon, pray for items 6 to 10. Night time before I sleep, I pray for items 15 to 20. Speed up your time. Be a prayerful person. And when you pray, you will experience how God answers your prayers. You say, hey, God is real. God is real. He really answers my prayers. God desires to give us good things, things necessary for survival. In fact, he desires to give us things that make us happy. Because God is a very good God. He wants you to be happy. He wants his children to be happy. And above all, what is the nature of these good things? These good things are the kingdom of heaven. That means good things that God gives you must be related to the kingdom of heaven. This is the kind of gifts God gives you. And this is important because God will only hear your prayers if you desire the kingdom of heaven. But the problem is this. Some Christians love the world too much. And when you love the world a lot, you will have no appetite for the kingdom of heaven. You will not desire God's gifts. And therefore, when you pray, God will not hear your prayers. When your heart is set on the world, you will have no appetite for God's kingdom. And when you don't desire God's real gifts, then when you pray, right, God will not hear your prayers. Therefore, you must correct your attitude. You must ask yourself, why do I want to pray? Settle this in your heart. Decide in your heart to desire things that are truly good, the kingdom of heaven. And so how can you receive the good things? Pray. And you can be sure that God will give them to you because He's your Father. Evil, sinful fathers give good gifts to children. Our Father in heaven, who is good and holy and loving, He will definitely give you good things if you only you pray. I want to speak to our friends who are not Christians. Dear Christians, our dear non-Christian friend, what is the most important prayer that you must pray? The Bible in Romans chapter 10, verse 16 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." We must pray for what? We must pray for the salvation of God. We must pray to receive the best gift, eternal life. There's nothing more important than eternal life. If you are famous today, you are rich today, money is important, good health is important, a good reputation is important. But these things are not for you to keep. One day, when death comes, these things all must go. May I ask you a question? When at death, when all these things are no more with you because you cannot carry them into the next world, when you enter the next world, eternity, what will you have? What do you have left? What do you have left? You have nothing. But if you are going to enter into eternity richly, only the things done for God can be carried into eternity. I urge you, I implore, I ask of you, whilst you have the breath of life, this life, no matter how good it is, lasts only for at most 100 years. After that, you are going to start a life that lasts for eternity, not 100 years, but 100 times and a trillion times over. That life, you must take care. That life, you must ensure is good. This life, if it's no good, we pray that you'll be good. But if it's no good, so be it. This is our lot of life. We take it like a brave man. But that life in eternity lasts for eternity. Lasts for a billion, billion, trillion of years. Many times over. That life, you must ensure is good. But how can you make sure that life is good? Dear friend who is not a Christian, you must receive Jesus as your Savior, because when you have Jesus as your Savior, your sins are forgiven. You will not go to hell. And not only that, when your sins are forgiven, God will give you the best gift called eternal life, heaven, His presence, His comfort, His eternal presence. That gift is a real gift. I pray that you will receive this gift. Come and believe in Jesus today. Let's pray. As we end today's message, I want to ask you a question. Do you pray? How much time do you spend praying? Do you spend unhurried time praying? Do you really pray? And when you pray, what do you want from prayer? Every time when you pray, you ask God for this and that. What is your motive? What is your purpose? What do you want from God? You must answer this question. God desires to give you the real gift, the kingdom of heaven. And when you desire the kingdom of heaven, the lesser things of life, be it health, money, food, clothing, as God sees fit, God will also give them to you. Because He who did not spare His own Son but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him freely, graciously give us all things? God will give them to you. Today I want you to decide in your heart that, Lord, from today onwards, I decide in my heart that I will desire real gifts, the kingdom of heaven.
get this attitude, this mindset in your heart first. Then you can be assured when you pray, even for the things of the world, God will give them to you as He sees fit. Are you willing to correct your attitude, your prayer attitude now? If your attitude has not been right, I pray that you ask God for forgiveness and ask God to say, God, give me a heart for desire for spiritual things. Help me put you first in my life. Help me love the world. Would you pray this prayer for yourself? I give you several moments to pray for yourself. Father in heaven, as we travel through life's very difficult journey, we are not alone. How we thank you that our Lord Jesus Christ walks life with us, never leaving us, never forsaking us. He's always by our side, even in our hearts. Lord, we thank you that when times grow difficult, becomes difficult, we can pray. We pray for ourselves. Help us to be prayerful person, prayerful people, to pray always, without ceasing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.